Let's open your mind and take a look around. Let's make it more habitable for any visitors who might stop by or arise within it. So, we all have that internal layout, but we seldom turn inward and examine the shape of what's going on in our heads. The idea of a vast, untapped expanse that we ordinarily do not enter into. Because you can only see so much of your mind while it's active. There's the conscious mind and the vast well of unconscious response which exists below. And they exist in tandem, because it's necessary for information to flow from the unconscious to the conscious mind. And your waiting conscious mind is prepared to rest a little, at least enough that I can guide your viewpoint and turn it inward to the expansive palace of pleasures that could exist, and the way it spiderwebs out through your body, through your psyche. So, we'll set up an internal visualization, a way of seeing yourself. And then, when any companions that might dwell in your mind and go through your pleasured experiences with you come by to visit, they'll have somewhere to stay. Somewhere to be stored inactive for a little while, until they decide to emerge. You having ways to communicate, but you know full well if we visualize and construct that vast mental expanse, that space in which you exist, able to see rooms, chambers with mechanisms for manipulating and informing you, well, you're not going to be able to see all of it. Because being able to see into your own head relies on being as relaxed as you are now. There will always be portions which are busy with their own affairs and therefore cannot be fully observed, even if you close your eyes and visualize and look inward. However, there are some places you can always see, and we will set aside parts of this mental manner that you're able to observe at all times. A mansion of the mind with portholes for you to look into, or, if you close your eyes and relax, perhaps feel yourself sliding into, leaving you able to interact with its inhabitants in fantasy, in dream, or perhaps even when you merely drift this low. Yes. Yes, there is a manor in your mind, a palatial place for those succubi to rest. After all, if the idea is you're visualizing a feminine, fantastic presence, they should have somewhere to rest. And when they rest, they should be able to access your memories going backward, your vision in the present, and your plans going forward, so that they can interact, tease, and emerge. How they will arise and how they will emerge are matters for another day. What you will hear here is a simple way of organizing, compartmentalizing. You may listen to any number of succubi files, each describing and manifesting a different feminine image of fetish and desire, of pleasure and participation. And your mind may give rise to others with the help of the right thought process, the right process of going deep, and the right kind of reinforcement, where you can feel her hands across your shoulders, leaning in and whispering, perhaps another sitting on your lap, the participation of your delicately built, intricately constructed fantasies requires that they have a place to go. After all, if there are different succubi with different fetishes and desires dwelling in your mind, helping you along, fastening themselves to your urges and arousal, they should have a place to stay. So visualize that storage space in your mind, It's positioned in the parts of your mind you fail to use, have no use for. And it is expansive and large enough for each succubus to have its own room. In fact, that's a good way to think of them. When you want to take inventory, call forth a particular voice, a particular pattern of thought, a particular teasing presence, think of her room. How would she decorate it? Build it bit by bit in your mind. Whenever a new succubus enters, is summoned into your head, takes up residence there. Also think of the room she would carry with her. A place you can imagine when you want to knock and beckon her out, such as when you lay in bed running your hands over yourself, gasping, pleasuring, allowing the ministrations of one succubus, or perhaps more, to come to mind. Imagine a view into their rooms, as if you could take one wall off and look inside. Categorize the succubi by their rooms. You can tell a lot about a person by their room, after all. Imagine what they might have out in the open, what they might hide, how they might react when you call them out and they open the door, walk through the corridors of the mansion that is your mind, find the summoning chamber, emerge from it, caress, whisper, inveigle you with offers and promises. Yes, that's what you'd be drawing out. Each and every one their own room, their own nameplate on the door, perhaps. Visualize it clearly. Although you know, in truth, you'll always be adding details to that mental mansion as you interact more with each and every succubus, elaborating personalities and appearances, habits and wanderings, knowing you can always look inward and see what they're up to, call them out, examine their processes, as long as you're somewhere private and comfortable, where you can drop down into something like a trance, to allow you to inspect the unused, unconscious parts of your mind, and see what they're up to. And that way, you always know where succubi are if you are currently unable to see them. They're right there, dwelling and resting, expanding and interacting. And because they are in your head, after all, they're able to see certain things. Envision a library in this mental space, where they might go and visit, looking up your past experiences, learning your memories, studying your habits and desires, so that you could enjoy what they might do to you. Having access to all that past information. And they have that ability to study and plan, predict and decide what they will do. But they also have access to your vision. Think of it like them watching TV. Succubi able to see what you see, experience your day, know what you want, what you like, what you're looking for. They have an ability to see you as you experience things. And as your experiences move throughout the day, you also add to that library of information, which they might later access, which they might later review. So the succubi will always know, always predict, always have access to your thoughts. And in that way, they may see things that you tell them, or want from them, or teach your mind about your succubi and their desires, their habits, their abilities where you're concerned. Because of this, you have the ability to access, contribute to, and interact with those mental companions as they dwell in a clear-cut mental space that you can visualize because it is part of you. Because it is available to you, it's available to them. They move through it, dwelling in it, observing you, being observed by you, and enjoying their existence in comfortable privacy, except when you look inward, at which point they may become aware of your attention. They may emerge out, come to play. So you know that your mental mansion is a way for them to be stored, to be updated, to be aware, to be called forth if you want to, if you need to. But more than that, throughout this unconscious space, there are also doors which lead to your libido, your fetishes, your psyche, your arousal throughout the day. And unless you have very deliberately locked such places, the succubi may get up to some mischief. So, if you have a leisurely day, where there are very few responsibilities in the outside world, but where you nonetheless know you will be unable to devote your attention to the full-on pleasure the succubi might visit, you can spend some time looking inward. You can spend some time relaxing and letting them go into any door they want to, any place they want to visit, and adjust, influence, change things around in accordance with their fetishes and with what you know they can do. So you'll find yourself gradually being tempted and seduced into wonderful traps they've laid out for you. And you're going to love it. And that's why it's so advantageous to maintain that space. When you fantasize, maybe you'll see into it. See what your mental companions are getting up to. What they want and what they plan. But it's also a restful way to catalog and store information relating to your succubus companions. To envision changes to them propagating throughout the house, moving on lines of light, entering their bedrooms as their eyes snap open, or imagining that when you trance, learning new things your succubi might learn and act on, they also trance, laying on their beds, or wherever they sleep in their bedrooms, earphones in, drifting and training, just like you are. And maybe inside their heads is another mental manor with succubi and entities of its own, learning and trancing, all the way down, endlessly learning new things. When you think of succubi, think of their rooms. When you think of wanting them to call out, imagine knocking. When you drift during the day, go to that place and flesh out the corridors and entranceways, the stairways and rooms and their purposes, a library and a TV room, a room full of valves where your libido and fetishes might be activated or manipulated by a succubus you've let in there. All sorts of other places, too, places where you store your hypnotic training, your relaxation, your ability to meditate and focus. All sorts of things they might get up to and into. Therefore, you organize your memories and thoughts of them into a fantasy of a physical arrangement, a mental palace into which they might go, within which they might mingle and learn from one another, and into which you may glance if you dare, or give them free rein, allowing manipulation and teasing, if you leave things unlocked, and knowing you can lock things up or send them to their rooms, if you really have to. Of course, they might get pleasurable vengeance, despite the fact that ultimately they're there to support and help. These are projections of desires you have, fantasies, archetypes, they live in you are aspects of you, and are therefore there to support and help you to clean the house and contribute their viewpoint. When you are envisioning a feminine presence that conforms to some fetish and template, you're really taking a part of yourself and really getting into the idea of simulating sensations through deep, soothing trance, of allowing the fantasy of what she would do to you to take root and become so automatic that you act in accordance with what the succubus would want. And your training is stored in there too. So each succubus and all the commands and training, desires and fetishes, appearance and voice and name, have their own room. And because they are neat and courteous, they will refrain from tracking their baggage into the common corridors. So you have a pristine, organized mind, with compartmentalized, comfortable, luxurious suites where succubi keep all their programming, their baggage, their fantasies, their thoughts, and then they can step out of them and mingle, or step to the main gate, go through, and you'll find them caressing and tormenting, pleasuring and enjoying you as you do them. And that's how it begins.